the Lord. I just want to encourage all of you folks to, we ask everybody in some way other than food, because we ask everybody to bring food, please participate New Year's Day. Find some, you can do something. And we don't want to just sit back and accept everybody else's gracious hospitality of having a fun. We want to try to get everybody involved. So please, amen. Everybody know Brother Nick and Sister Chrissy? Do they need, they're right here. Please see them. Here's Sister Denora for the food. We ask you to please see her. But everybody, if we all participate, we can all have fun. Okay? You can read a poem. You can sing a song. You can get some people together and do a skit, whatever. But we want to have a great time. Brother Nick said he's only got a handful of people. Okay? So we need you to get involved. Amen? And this is something that we do together. We're all family here, so we want to have a good time. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about a friend. A friend. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a friend? Everybody, after service, Elisha needs, he don't have any friends. So after service, everybody go to him and give him a hug. Give him your phone number. So you can text him during the week and tell him you're praying for him. All right. We'll help you out, bud. Stick with me. All right. What is a friend? Anybody? What is a friend? No wonder you don't have friends. You don't even know what a friend is. Brother Nick. Someone who shows himself friendly. Amen. Get all spiritual on me here. Brother? Somebody you can trust. Sister? Something in common with. Amen. I saw another hand back here. Brother? Somebody you can count on. Someone tells you just the way it is. She agrees with her. All right. You got to... All right, she's in your corner. Well, Merriam-Webster says it's one attached to another by affection or esteem, an acquaintance, one that is not hostile, one that is of the same nation, party, or group, one that favors or promotes something, a favored companion. Amen. I think we ought to make ourselves friendly and have friends. Amen. But folks, don't just look for somebody that... some people are really funny about friends, but they want friends that will need them. Okay? I know somebody that all their friends, that person needs that person. And, you know, we need people that, like Sister Denora said, it'll tell you like it is. Amen? Amen. So many people are, they call themselves friendly or friends, and then they are afraid to say something to their friend because they're afraid their friend's going to get upset. Are you really a friend? Come on. I had to take a young man one time and tell him he needs to take baths, showers. That's hard to do. But I feel I was his friend, not only as pastor, but as a friend. Other people notice things too. Come on. What would you do if I come up and said, you need to take showers more? Thank you. My wife is my friend. She, you know, we have this agreement we had for since we were married. Hey, if I need to brush my teeth, you need to tell me. Because if my breath stinks, you need to be the one to tell me. Come on. We need to be able to be there for each other. You know, you ever see somebody that, you know, their zipper's down or something like that, and people are like, nobody wants to tell them? You ain't no friend. Because I'll go up and tell them. Because if it was me, I'd want to be told. If my kids were heathens, you better be telling me. You say you're my friend, you better tell me if something needs to happen in my life. Jesus was a friend. The Bible says it sticketh closer than a brother. The biggest need that most people have today is a true friend. You know, I just saw in the news, I believe it was yesterday or today, that we are going through a loneliness epidemic. Epidemic of loneliness. Couldn't believe my ears. You know, I was teaching on this. I'm like, wow. Showed on the front. Right out there on the news. So most people have a need for a true friend. But you're not going to have a friend if you won't go out of your way. Don't be that needy friend all the time. Be a friend that can help. That's why when I tell you to come to church, don't just sit there. Get up and move around and shake hands. Get to know people. Then don't ever complain that this church ain't friendly if you won't do anything. I promise you, it's one of the most friendly churches you'll ever meet. Studies show that the single biggest reason why churches grow is the members bring their friends to worship with them. That's why we push things like small groups. Because God made us what? Relational. You were made that way. So if you're anything other than relational, you're going against what God made. So without friends, life is almost very hard to bear. John chapter 15, verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus said, if you're my friend, you've got to obey me. Come on. Proverbs 18, 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Friends are people who walk in when other people walk out on you. So let's talk about some things about true friends, characteristics of friends. A friend accepts you as you are. A friend believes in you. A friend calls you just to say hi. A friend doesn't give up on you. A friend envisions the whole of you, even the unfinished parts. Friends forgives your mistakes. A friend gives unconditionally. A friend helps you. A friend just wants to be with you. A friend keeps you close at heart. A friend loves you for who you are. A friend makes a difference in you. A friend never judges. A friend supports, offers supports. A friend quiets your fears. A friend raises your spirits. A friend says nice things about you. A friend tells you the truth when you need to hear it. A friend understands you. A friend values you. A friend walks beside you. A friend explains things that you don't understand. A friend yells when you won't listen. A friend zaps you back to reality. A brother is born for times of adversity, the Bible says, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A true friend. We all want true friends, don't we? John 15, verse 13 and 14 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Would you lay down your life for your friends? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command. Folks, we live in an age of deception. We live in an age of mistrust. It is very difficult to find a true friend. But you'll never find them if you're not friendly. Amen? In the world where there is all kinds of friends, there's faucet friends who turn off and on. There's fake friends who will not be there when you need them most. There are seasonal friends who will be there some of the time. There are telephone friends who will turn on the answering machine. There are bubble friends who will burst when the pressure's on. There are nosy friends who are those who live in your business. There are jealous friends who want your possessions. There are lying friends who will lie on you. There are unsaved friends who will lead your soul straight to the pit of hell. There are true friends who will not wait on your call. He will call you. A friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. A true friend knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you have forgotten the words. A true friendship is one mind and two bodies. A true friend is one who reaches for your hand and touches your heart. A prosperity of friends know us. But in adversity, we know who our friends are. A true friend does not have to tell you he loves you. You know he does. But you like to hear it anyways. Amen? See, a true friend loves with his heart. He loves with a regenerated heart. He loves with the Bible-filled heart. Amen? He loves with a Spirit-filled heart. That's the kind of friends we need. And let's look at the essentials of true friendship. True friendship is independent of time. True friendship is independent of circumstances. True friendship is unshaken by slander. True friendship is outlives unworthy treatment. True friendship is not hindered by distance. True friendship is not based on occupation or image. True friendship is not affected by a reduction of status. A true friend will not let his friends die without Jesus Christ. A true friend will reveal himself in adversity. In adversity, a friend becomes a brother. In adversity, a friend in need is a friend indeed. In adversity, when in trouble, the first thing you will see is his heart. So a true friend is a friend. A friend that accepts you as you are, believes in you, calls you just to say hi, doesn't give up on you, envisions the better part of you, forgives your mistakes, gives unconditionally, is there to help you, invite you over, will just be with you, will keep you close to his heart. Loves you as you are, will make a difference in your life, will never judge you unfairly, will offer support when you need it, will pick you up when you're down, will quiet your fears, will raise your spirit, will smooth your troubled soul, will tell you the truth even when it hurts, will understand you, will value your friendship, will walk beside you, explain the hard things to you. A true friend will give his life for a friend. Calvary reminds us of what a true friend will do to save his friends. In John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater sacrifice than to give your life. No greater purpose than to give your life. No greater example. No greater revelation. No greater friendship. No greater cause, love, gift. No greater God than Jesus Christ. A true friend. Amen? Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Folks, know your friends. Well, they just told me this. Well, it's probably a good friend. You know, it's not easy to do things, certain things. As a pastor, I've found I've been very uncomfortable with some of the things I've had to do. But I do it not only because I'm the pastor, but because I hope that I'm your friend. Amen? And what this does, it tells us that the enemy will ignore issues that we may need to face. See, the enemy don't want you to pay attention to certain things. Sometimes we try to, you know, when we know there's certain things we need to work on. But if we just try to ignore it, we think it'll go away. But sometimes we just have to take care of things. A friend will confront us with truth that we need to hear. And that friend will be honest, not just because they want to make you feel bad, because they want to help you. Folks, let your friends tell you things. Come on. Let your friends tell you you need to straighten up in this area. Who do you think you are? I'm your friend. You need to thank God for a friend like that. The friend is willing to stir us up sometimes. To think about the aspect of true friendship. A true friend is honest, folks. Wounds from a friend, the scripture said. Wounds from a friend. Well, a friend shouldn't do that. No, a friend will do that. Proverbs 27, keep that close to you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, kiss, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Is this my friend giving me a wound because he loves me or she loves me? A true friend is willing, if needed, to confront you with painful truth. You see, sometimes we just can't see every issue. Sometimes we're too close to an issue. You ever been there? You're too close to that issue, and so you're not looking at it in the right perspective. But a friend, he's standing out here looking at it saying, that's the problem. I want to tell them, but they'll get mad at me. Come on. You know, are you looking at your kid's situation, the issue they're going through? A friend standing over here saying, I need to tell them that their kids are brats. That their kids are doing this or their kids are doing that. Or at work, you got a friend there. You're slacking. And the boss ain't happy with it. You need to get on the ball. Come on. Will you accept that from a friend? Will you get mad at them? A friend will tell you the painful truth. A friend is willing to tell you what you need to hear so he can help you. Now, it's important to understand how a friend confronts you with truth that you need to hear. A friend shares honestly out of a spirit of concern, not a spirit of criticism. A friend wants to follow. Brother Paul said in the Word of God in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. Friend, when you speak to your friend, do it in love. Don't do it until you've prayed over it. Ask God to go before you and touch the heart of that friend so that when you go there, they will be receptive. Come on. But speak in truth in love. You're not there to crush them. You're there to help them. Amen? A friend will combine truth with tenderness. Truthfulness without tenderness is calloused. And that's sometimes the problem. We have to understand you need to smother it with love. Don't be so calloused. You listen here, you little punk. I'm sick and tired of your attitude lately. Yeah, I'm your friend, but your attitude stinks. That ain't going to go over well. You need to pray about it. Pray about how you approach them. Ask God to go before you. You know, do it with tenderness. Do it with love. Tenderness without truthfulness, folks, is cowardly. Think about that. I was going to say it again. Tenderness without truthfulness is cowardly. You can't really care about somebody if you won't be blunt with them and truthful with them. Truthfulness with tenderness is Christ-like. Amen? One of the most Christ-like things that we can do is tenderly confront our friends with truth that they need to hear so that you can help them. 84 times in the gospel records, Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You know what? We're living in a day and age where people don't want to hear the truth. I don't understand that I don't understand it at all. But people are willing to accept lies. See, Jesus didn't hesitate to speak the truth, and neither should we, if we are a true friend. But again, do it with tenderness. Do it with love. But in seeking to share a helpful truth with a friend, we must be tender. So it is good to apply the golden rule. when it comes to our relationship with others. Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever ye do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. All right? How do I want to be treated? That is how I should treat a friend with helpful truth. Okay? So don't do something to somebody that you wouldn't want to accept. How would you want a friend to come to you and talk to you about a situation? It's how you should do. All right? So how do you want to be treated? You treat others the same way. We all want others to appreciate us. You like to be appreciated? We all like to be appreciated. William James said this, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be accepted. When you seek to confront a friend with a helpful truth, express appreciation for them. One of the greatest ways to go about it is start building them up. I love you, man. You're a good friend. You know, you smell good today, whatever. I mean, just build them up. And then lower the boom with tenderness. Okay? Show them that you appreciate them. And then tell them. We all want others to listen to us. Being a good friend is being a good listener. Okay? Don't do all the talking. You know the old saying, you got 2 ears, 1 mouth? Right? When confronting a friend with helpful truth, be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. There is a difference between listening and hearing. Come on. Listening is wanting to hear. All right? So the hearing is not really wanting to be there. Let your friend know that you want to hear his thoughts. You want to hear his feelings. Let him know that. Everybody wants people to understand us. Amen? We need to listen to our friend as well as we tell them what we believe that they need to hear in order to understand his perspective. So, to not demonstrate a desire to understand another is to communicate unconcern for them. So if you won't listen to them, if you don't even try to understand them, you're telling them you're not concerned about their feelings. Right? A man by the name of Steve Covey said, the 7 habits of highly effective people, you must seek to understand before you seek to be understood. All right? I'll say it again. You must seek to understand the person before you seek to be understood. So if you let them basically know, I really don't care what your problem is, but I want you to understand something. Right? No, you need to understand them. If they'll even be concerned to understand you. Everybody wants people to forgive us. You want to be forgiven? Amen. If what you are led to confront your friend about has to do with a personal offense, you do not do it until you can do it forgivingly. Amen? A person will more easily deal with their mistakes if he knows that he has forgiveness for them. Mistakes already. Ernest Hemingway, in his book called The Capital of the World, he said a father and his teenage son who lived in Spain, their relationship became strained and eventually their relationship became shattered and the son ran away from home. So the father began this long journey in search of his lost and rebellious son and finally putting an ad in the Madrid newspaper at the last resort. His son's name was Paco, a very famous name in Spain. Here's what the ad read. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. And as Hemingway writes, the next day at noon in the front of the newspaper office, there was 800 Pacos seeking forgiveness. Think about that. That's kind of funny in a way, but it's kind of sad, isn't it? 800 Pacos looking for forgiveness. Makes you think, if I was that father, I'd walk around and tell them all, I forgive you. Come here, give me a hug. I forgive you. All of us want to be forgiven. Remember that, folks. When you confront a friend with truth, they need to hear you forgive them. And everybody wants us to be encouraged, right? We want encouraged. David Smith, the author of The Friendliest American Male, said, he writes about Queen Victoria's impression of her two most famous prime ministers, of William Gladstone. She said, when I am with him, I feel like I am with one of the most important leaders in the world. But on the other hand, she confessed that when she was with Benjamin Disraeli, he made her feel as if I am one of the most important leaders in the world. See, Gladstone provoked her admiration while she considered Disraeli her true friend. He encouraged her. Always seek to help your friend think good of themselves. Come on. Help them to think. Some people don't think good of themselves. Help them to think good of themselves. My wife is phenomenal about that stuff. If there's any good to be found in somebody, she will find it. She amazes me. And she always tries to make... And if I say something, she's always, yeah, but this. And there's sometimes I don't want to hear that stuff. Will you just stop it? Just let me think the way I want to think right now. No. Remember, God did not bring you into this relationship, folks, to see through one another, but to see one another through. Come on. And that brings us to the reasons why true friends is honest with those God has brought into his life. Especially as Christians, folks. God brings people into your life for a reason. Amen? So be there to help them through. A true friend is helpful. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. And so in being honest with others, a friend will want to help in one of three ways. He will want to help his friend receive the best, and that is a relationship with God. How? By being an example to them and tell them about this Acts 2:38 gospel. Your friends should know what you believe. But don't just tell them what you believe. Live it in front of them. It's so frustrating that people hang around people and that person doesn't know their God. That's a shame. And that person is going to stand there on Judgment Day if you don't tell them about your God. Say, why did you not tell me? But listen, don't only tell people you're Pentecostal and you do this and live it every day. You better live the example. Because the old phrase says, actions speak louder than your words. Come on. What does your friend know of you when you're mad? Do they hear cussing and ranting and raving and throwing things? Or do they see a God that has changed you from what they used to know? So be that example to them. Would a person be a true friend if they knew the cure for deadly disease and did not tell somebody that needed it, their friend that needed it? That's not a true friend. Folks, if we have friends in the world that need a cure, amen? You and I know the one who said he is in the way, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Your friend needs to know that too. We have an obligation to tell our friends about Jesus Christ. And also, believe the best. Help your friend believe the best. And that is a perspective on life only God can give. Live it in front of them, folks. Make them want to and be envious of your life. Make them desire, I want the life you have. Because you're living it in front of them. A friend points out others to the truth of God's word so that they might never forget that through Christ they are the child of the King. And a friend, help them to achieve their best. And that is potential that only God can help us achieve. You know as well as I do that if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be the half the person you are today. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have half the stuff you have today. And you can go on down the list, right? So help your friend achieve that. That potential that only God can help them with. There's things that you try to help some friends with and you just sometimes say, I don't know if I'll ever get through, but God can get through to them. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us this and the sin that is so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run with endurance. What? The race that God set before us. Folks, God has your race laid out. Too often, we spend time trying to get off of the course that God put us on. Because we don't want to do what He wants us to do. This scripture is telling us, let's run with endurance the race that God set before us. If you get off the course that God has for you, you're not going to be happy. And, you know, and the course sometimes that God takes us through, it's not always a bed of roses. Come on. But neither is life without God. And that was the main reason why probably many of us are here today, because the life that we were trying to run our own way and go the way we wanted to go took us to a bad turn in life. And we made a lot of crazy, ridiculous decisions on our own. Why not do it God's way? Run the race that God set before you. So we do this, folks, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And your friends are watching. Live it before them. A friend is one who lifts you near to God. Are you being a true friend to those that God has brought into your life? And that may be at work. That may be in the neighborhood you live in. That may be the store that you shop at. Before you start screaming at somebody at a store or at a restaurant, just remember, God brought you there for a reason. There's sometimes when you get a waiter or a waitress, and they're terrible, and you don't want to tip them, but God brought you there. You tip them. You be nice to them. Because God brought you there. And that person may need to hear, I hope you have a nice day. You might no sooner get something out like that, and they may just unload on you. Will you pray for me? Maybe their day was bad. God brought you there to encourage them. Are you being a true friend to those God has brought into your life? A man was sitting at an outdoor skating rink and he noticed something. He noticed a woman came during her lunch break. She put on these very expensive pair of skates. She was a plain lady, seemed to be very reserved, And he could tell that she was not a professional ice skater. But when she began to skate, she was absolutely amazing. And he began to wonder, I wonder how many of her coworkers, I wonder how many of her friends, I wonder how many of her family even know that she could skate so beautifully. Folks, I think we should take more interest in one another. And I think that we ought to be more concerned for one another. And we need to be more open with one another. Because we live in a day and age where we're all so reserved. You know, you've heard me say this many times, but it's so true, folks. There was a day when people had front porches, and they would sit on those front porches and wave at their neighbors and people that drive by. But now, we live in a day and age where there's very little front porches. There's little ones, if there are any, just a stoop. And people are sitting in the backyard that's fenced in. Right? I'm asking us here at Church of Pentecost to be more open with each other. I want other people to know that you skate beautifully. And I'm using that in a broad sense. I want other people to know beautiful things about each other. Don't be so afraid to let others know you. Let's be more open. Let's be a more open book. You know, I know people that have talents that didn't want anybody else to know because they didn't want somebody to ask them to help them. Why did God give us talents anyways if we're not going to use them? Think about it, folks. God brought you in this church for a reason. You're here for a reason. And we're at the end of 2019. It's unbelievable that it's almost gone. But I want us in 2020 to have more vision, to be more open, to be more loving, to be more caring. Now, is this going to take getting out of your comfort zone? That's what I'm asking you as your pastor to do. God said he'd give you a pastor for the perfecting of the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry. I want God to use you in 2020. But he can only use you if you allow him. He's not going to twist your arm. But I'm telling you, he wants to use you. And again, it's going to take getting out of your comfort zone, being more faithful to the things of God. I can't use you, and I won't use you if I can't count on you. Ain't going to happen. Amen? Let's stand.